I had a little brain freeze problem. You know, it was an old person thing, and I hadn't done it, you know, anywhere else. Why not do it with family? You know, the people really love you and care for you and want to be kind. That has not happened since I messed up. I'll have you know, I've had more ridicule and persecution. My pride, Brother Jay, the kindness of his heart, he said, "You really embarrassed me. You know, I didn't come for the preaching. I came for some good music, and boy, did you love it last." I mean, just the kindness of people like that all day long has been so encouraging to my heart. And I hope, just like the she-bears incident with the preacher, remember back in the Old Testament, you will get your coming up as far as that's concerned. Now, for those that are visiting, we sure are glad you're here with us. I know these students so were impacted and so excited about the preaching today that they volunteered to be here tonight. I appreciate their submission, you know, to the leading of God and their desire of more spiritual feeding. They have, for those that might not know, that they're here or they die, okay? They're no longer in school. You know, they'll be in that same grade for another 3 or 4 years until they get it right. But I'm glad all the students are here and some of the parents. We appreciate you being here. Also good to have my good friend Bubba the Hutt. That's why I call Mike Hutt. And God called him that ever since I've known him. But love the Hutt family. We keep up via Facebook like some of you folks. And it's just such a joy to be back in fellowship. So what we're going to do, I'm going to try it again. All right? I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm going to do the same song. And let me tell you what I did in my little pride-filled life. I went over to French's afterwards. Ran home and Amber. We all went there in fellowship. Mike was there. We had a great time. And you know, as soon as I got home by 10 or 10:30, guess what I did? And I hope my neighbors heard me. I pulled my guitar out, and I sang that song, and I wanted to make sure I remembered how the words went. It was flawless. I mean, I sang through it without a blink, out a burp, or even a hesitation, and I just hope that happens. Let me set it up for the teenagers. The song I'm going to sing is called "How Much You Care." And as I mentioned last night, it's not that we don't care. We just don't care enough. So what do you mean? Well, no one here wants someone going to hell for all eternity. But you won't be the called-out sacrificial soul winner that God saved and calls you to be. You don't want someone to go to some liberal church or some non-Bible preaching ministry, but still you don't care enough to help fix what's broken and be the discipler of men that you're supposed to be. So here we go one more time. How much you care. Mess up just to give you a laugh, but I'm going to stay with the song and really focus and hopefully get this right. Each day your life will tell the story. Each day your heart will be revealed. For what you're living for, whose life your heart adores. Every day you show how much you care. You care that Jesus died for you. You care he was crucified for you. You care he gave his life. You care he sacrificed. If you care, you give your life for him. Every day you show how much you care. If you care, you want to please the Lord. If you care, you want to do his will. It would not my will be done, but to serve and please God's Son. Every day you show how much you care. Do you care that Jesus died for you? Do you care he was crucified for you? Do you care he gave his life? Do you care he sacrificed? If you care, you give your life for him. Every day you show how much you care. If you care, you tell his wondrous story. If you care, you spread the gospel news.
how that Jesus bled and died, that through Him man's justified. Every day you show how much you care. You care that Jesus died for you. You care He was crucified for you. You care He gave His life. You care He sacrificed. If you care, you give your life for Him. Every day, you show how much you care. Every day, you show how much you care.
I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I can't believe he got through that. Would you do that, shake some hands, and welcome the folks here tonight. You can shake hands. Go meet some of the adults. Don't just stand there, teenagers. Go spread the love. Fly. You are free. And be kind. Show hospitality. Go. There you go. I know they aren't shy. All right. Try to find your parking spot. Head back to your seat if you would. We'll get underway. Teenagers, retreat, back to your seat. There you go. When you find your spot, just sit down there and we'll get started here. Well, again, good crowd we have, and I know it's because we have a lot of students here. They're a blessing to be with. Now, just as a commercial for tomorrow, I get in their face like I get in y'all's face, but tomorrow we're going to do a couple fun songs. We're going to do one from the CD called My Brother's Just a Big Old Nerd. And then to balance that out, to give both sides attention, we're going to do a newer song that most of you have not heard called Drama Queen. So if you want to come for that and that alone, I think it would be worth the price of admission, and we encourage you to be with us tomorrow morning. Pastor's trying to get me to do this in the evening service. Maybe if I get brave enough before we start the serious stuff, maybe I'll give it for you tomorrow night or maybe on Wednesday. Then on Wednesday, we have a lot of munchkins here, and I'm going to do a chapel. Brother Eric, are we going to do a separate chapel with them or not?
Yeah, it's going to be tomorrow morning.
What time?
45.
What?
9:45.
So I've got to get up early. I'm an evangelist. I don't do mornings well. But I'm going to be with your children, the young munchkins, at 9:45, and then we'll have the teens at 10:30. So if you can come for both chapels, that'll be fun. I'll be singing some of the Pat songs that I've written, some new ones that some of you folks haven't even been tortured with. And then on Wednesday night, what I'll do, so you can all enjoy that kind of ministry, I'll give you three or four songs that I sang for the young munchkins in their chapel. And I do that just so the moms and dads can learn the songs also. And the teens like it. They just don't like to admit it. So we'll be doing that on Wednesday night. And I know a lot of you folks will be in your own local church. Tonight's message, I have been preaching for a long time, but I've never wanted to preach it more than I preach it today. I mean, there's such a burden in my heart for this message to be delivered. And anytime God gives me the go-ahead, the green light, folks, I preach this message. I don't care if I preached it the last time I was at the church. This is a message we need to have set forth. Now, you're going to know what the message is all about when I give you the reference. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going down to that very well-known verse. A verse I think is known academically, but not applied like it's supposed to, because I think folks are very confused on what this stuff is really all about. What is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16? It says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, before we go any further, let me tell you how I'm going to approach this, because this was helpful to me. I didn't have a clue
what holiness was. Growing up in a small town in Indiana, you know what I really perceived holiness to be? Some outward spooky thing? I thought for a woman you had to get a beehive hairdo halfway to the moon, go to Goodwill and find the ugliest dress you can, and for the guy you wore white shirts, past sleeves past your knuckles, high water pants, white socks, looked like Jerry Lewis. Did anybody have that kind of warped understanding of this be ye holy stuff? I didn't have a clue. So what we're going to do, first of all, after we pray, we're going to give explanation of what this holiness is all about, and then where it really becomes very personal and hopefully very convicting in the expectations of God concerning be ye holy. Now the reason I told you that before we started, because I want you to pray about that as we have a time of prayer. Because folks, there are certain amen messages, and there are other messages that are ouch messages. This is an ouch message. And it's, folks, an ouch message we need to hear today. Everybody in this room, including this preacher, needs to be better at practicing this command of God, be ye holy, for I am holy. So let's bow our heads and hearts. Let's ask God to do what's needed and best for us. And that's His will. That's His want to. So you look to open your heart, your mind, your life to receive these truths here tonight. Heavenly Father, help us now as we have another blessed privilege of being before You, having in our grasp the blessed written Word of God. Lord, this is not some man's concoction. This is the Holy Word of God. The instruction manual, a love letter. Lord, that again maintenance program of faithfulness to bring glory and honor to Your name. And oh God, today in Christianity, it's not being fulfilled, I believe, in a way that's pleasing unto You. In a way that truly shows folks what being a Christian and true holiness is all about. Oh God, how we dirty ourselves up with the worldliness around us as we again casually park it in our brains and let it be a part of who and what we are. God, free us from that bondage of sin. And God, refresh our brains, clean us up. And God, help us again to take so personally to our hearts the challenge that You have for us tonight. God, for the crowd we have, I just think there may be someone here that's not saved, someone not sure they're going to heaven. Could be a student. It could be a parent. It could be a church member. But God, if they're not confident where they're going to spend forever, God, give them that personal relationship, save their soul, and help them to be saved this hour. Help us, Lord. This is a tough pill to swallow. But God, thankfully, You'll give us the water of Your Word to again so bring to us what's needed so we can do our best for You. Lord, we praise You and thank You now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, what does the word holy or be ye holy, what's that all about? What does that mean? Well, this helped me. I kind of have a two-parter as far as explanation. You guys can write this down. It'll help you preach the passage also. But first of all, it involves being set apart for God alone. And that's a lot of what we dealt with even yesterday. That nothing should matter to you more than that which matters unto Jesus. You listen, boys? That Jesus just can't be a big part of your life. He must be your all in all the time. Or you're out of the will of God. And there's no way, no how, in your fleshly, again, control, that you'll be anywhere close to the testimony of be ye holy. First of all, set apart for God alone. Now, that's kind of the easy one, because that's been done in most of our lives since we trusted Jesus, but are we still there? And why don't we stay there? Because we don't do the second part. The second part of being holy is being set apart from. From what? The anti-God philosophies. The anti-God activities. The garbage of the world that seeks to clog your membranes and keep you from being set apart for God alone. It's not just a struggle for these teenagers. It's a struggle for every believer that I've ever met. But folks, you got to get both parts working. Or you won't be consistent and faithful as God would have you to be faithful. Now, look at this passage. I always have this from adults or teenagers. How much do I have to do this? Well, let's see what God says in this particular section of the Word of God. Look with me in verse 15. But it says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Now, folks, when we talk about conversation in our verbal presentation today, we just think that's talk. But I think you've been taught well enough to understand that's your walk and your talk. Your attitude, your action, your whole presentation of testimony. So look at that again. It says, in all manner of conversation. That's a 24/7 responsibility and attitude and action that God expects you to set forth in your life for Him. Now folks, let me give you a cheap shot picture that we do far too much to our Heavenly Fathers. Now, I gave my testimony somewhat to the kids. I had to do the Reader's Digest version today. I went through it rather rapidly. But they caught on. I was an old used car dealer kid. And I worked. I sold cars when I was like 13 and 14 years old. Can you imagine the shy person I am selling automobiles at that age? But I sold my first car. It was the most exciting time in my car dealing experience. It was a Rambler station wagon. And it was. And these kids are going, what? It was so bad they don't even have them anymore, okay? But a Rambler station wagon. And I sold it to a guy in Albany, Indiana, 5 miles up the road. He was at a body shop. My dad was up the lake letting me do all the slave child work like parents do to their children. And you know, I was so excited. I called him and said, Dad, I sold a car. Attaboy, son. It makes me proud. You know, those kind of things. But folks, let's say that you want to come and buy a car at Maynard Brothers Fanatical Ford Sales in Dunkirk, Indiana. Wish it still existed. I have to buy cars like you today, and I hate it just as much as you do. But let's say you come to our wonderful dealership, and you say, hey, Brother Maynard.
Ooh, yeah.
I want that new Mustang. Yeah, that red one. Yeah, that red convertible Mustang with a 302 brum brum engine in it. That is the car that I want. And I said, no. So we hop in your junk that you think's worth more than it really is. If it's that nice a car, how come you're trading it in? Huh? Okay, so what happens, we get in your jalopy, and I take you to the Chrysler dealership. And I talk you into buying one of their cars. Well, say, Brother Maynard, that's not real helpful to the family business. Isn't that kind of a low-rent deal to be in the enemy camp as such and promoting their product? You see where I'm going with this? What happens when you refuse to be holy? Well, you end up being unholy. You end up playing the presentation of ungodliness, scoring points for the devil. And what a cheap shot that is to your Savior Jesus, your Heavenly Father, when you're supposed to be promoting faithfully the will and working of God. That's why you can't just say, amen, I agree. This has got to be a life choice, a life-changing choice that I'm going to be like my God. And if I'm going to be like my God, I got to be holy as He is holy. Now, I have 3 children. Folks ask me these questions all the time. Nate, Mike, and Kylie, they've been up here before. And your kids ruined my kids. My kids ruined your children. Somebody get the phone. I wish they'd shut that thing off, okay? Now, it's the leadership. Brother Eric, I try to work with him, but you know, I understand. You know, the gray hair and it's the pressure. He's under pressure, people. I'm so bad. I went up to him today. He was giving announcements. And I noticed this little skunk line here on the back of his head here. There was just one gray patch. You need to observe that. I said, the job getting a little stressful on you, big guy, you know? Yeah, of course, I made fun of the little shiny spot on the back of the top of his head, too, but we won't go into that too much. But having children, you'll always get this. Why? How come? And I know none of you teenagers would ever be this carnal, but my kids would do this. Now, I don't know what that means, but I know it's not good, okay? It's not of God, y'all with me? But you know what? Let me, adults, don't get pious here. Get off your little high horse. You know what we do all the time? I got to do that. Why? How come? That's boring. I don't want to be that spiritual. Y'all with me, folks? So let me give you the why of being holy. It's here in the passage. First of all, why do I take the effort, the time, the life-changing work, and it is, to be holy as God's holy? Well, God says so. That's point number one. It says here, because it is written. Now, folks, look at me. Shouldn't that be enough? Isn't God smarter than you? Doesn't God want to bring to your life what's needed and best? But you constantly argue against His perfect Word to give you His perfect will and working. Because God says so. Number two, that's the way He is. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Folks, we're supposed to manifest or show forth Jesus 24/7. We're here to show this lost and dying world and younger believers how to live for Jesus and do it according to thus saith the Lord. And if you're not holy as God is holy, you're not doing that. You are out of God's will. And you need to get that fixed if you want to be pleasing in God's sight. And here's the tough thing. You're His to command. I want to show you a passage I think most folks have conveniently torn out of their Bible or they don't read it much. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know where this is, don't you, and what this is all about? This, again, is something we need to take heed to continually, folks. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And go down with me to verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, folks, when did that happen? Teens, talk to me. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, Brother Maynard, it was one dark night. I had my hands in the air and I'm like, ow! No. That's not a biblical little opportunity here. It may be an emotional, stirring experience, but you received the Holy Spirit of God when you received Christ as Savior. And the Holy Spirit at that point indwelled you as a believer. Now, He wants to fill you or control you, and that's the choice you need to make every day. Yield to His want to as far as what should be done and will be done if you let Him do His working. But you belong to God. It says, which you have of God, and understand this, which you have of God, underscore this, adults and teens. Ye are not your own. How dare you set your own schedule, your own agenda, doing what you want to do instead of checking in with the boss and seeing what pleases and honors Him. You are bought. How? Keep reading. It says, for you are bought with the price, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That's just not, again, the mechanics of Christian living. It's having the right attitude and approach. Now, Bubba, I love you, and I don't mean to embarrass you, but you look like you're ready to fall asleep, blue shirt. Sit up, man. You'll never get married with that kind of posture, okay? Sit up straight, and don't slouch on me, because I want you to get this, because you need this as much as anybody else. Boy, it's amazing how few adults straightened up, too. Praise God for conviction. So, folks, are you with this here? You belong to God. He owns you. And you're supposed to look to please Him all the time. And listen carefully, you can't please Him unless you on purpose choose to be holy as God is holy. And that's not being a weirdo. It's not being a nerd. No, it's being right with God and pleasing in His sight. And it seems like we run from this like the plague when this is truly what's best and needed for our lives. Now, my life verse, and I've quoted already to the kids, and I've quoted to you, but I want to quote it together. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Let's say it together. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, say it with me, do all. Louder, do all. Preach it, people, do all to the glory of God. You're His to command. His, whether it's business, pleasure, secular, sacred, His will, His pleasure should be all of our main concern. Everything you have is His. Everything you do should be for Him. Every plan and program and goal and objective, it should all revolve around pleasing God and fulfilling faithfully His will for your life. And boy, a big part of that, folks, that shows the right presentation is be ye holy as God is holy. So let me review here. I don't want you to miss this. I make it simple on purpose, folks. If you're going to get this done right, you must make a choice to be set apart for God alone. He must be your all in all, your love of life. Now, a lot of these kids weren't here last night, so let me give you another quote. This is another Maynardism I use all the time. When Jesus ceases to be precious, can you adults finish with me? When Jesus ceases to be precious, what's the rest? Man ceases to be faithful. Let's all say that again together. When Jesus ceases to be precious, man ceases to be faithful. Excuse me for a minute. Let me talk to the younger crowd here. You guys ever watch Lord of the Rings? Y'all know that, you carnal, wicked Christian school kids, okay? Now, there's this little creepy guy named Snavely, Sneebly, Snerdly. What's his name? Help me here. What's Smeagly. Can you talk like him? Good, thank you. It scares me when that happens, okay? That guy's a creepy, creepy dude. I've watched it too, you know, read the books and all that stuff. But you know what? This guy had something he called what? Say it like he did. Isn't that creepy? That's just creepy. But his whole life revolved around this ring that supposedly is the most powerful, influential thing of their time. Again, it's all got all kinds of pictures and, you know, this, that, and the other to teach. But you know what? His whole life, his whole existence revolved around this ring. What intensity. What, again, dedication. Talk about everything, again, directed that way. Folks, that's the way it's supposed to be in our relationship and life in Jesus. But it's become nothing to you. Very much just kind of a bother instead of a blessing, being saved by the shed blood of Jesus, now called to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, be an ambassador for Christ and represent Jesus. It's like, oh, ooh, big deal. And folks, it is still a big deal. Have you lost the wow of the wonder of it all? I'm afraid, folks, that's happened way, way too much. And I hope it's not happening in your life. So the first part of this holiness stuff is being set apart for God alone. He must be the most precious thing in your existence. Then, here's the hard part. Set apart from this junk that seeks to kill you and rip you off from faithfulness to Jesus. And it's not stuff, folks, that may be even bad in and of itself, but it becomes more important than Jesus. It becomes sin and deters you from any and all aspects of faithfulness to the will of God, service through the local church, and just doing it God's way. So that's the explanation. Let's go where the rubber meets the road as such and go down to expectations concerning be holy. And again, folks, this is convicting, and it's convicting on purpose. That's the way it should be. And here's a biggie. If you're going to do this, you got to make sure this is who and what you are. You must make an obvious choice to be set apart from self. You just got to do that. Selfishness has permeated fundamentalism in every other Christian walk that I've seen. And folks, that's going to kill you as far as faithfulness to God's will and working. God has to be more important than you are. Now, we get on teenagers all the time because they're selfish wretches. But you know where they learned how to be so proficient in their selfishness? Through us selfish adults. Again, ignoring what pleases and honors our God. Let me give you just several things here under this set apart from self. First of all, you need to obey whether you feel like it or not. I know some of you teachers and you students are dead dog tired. You've been up since sun up and you're in sleepy mode right now and you're putting on a good front, but you'd really rather be home snoozing than losing. Give me that lazy boy. Give me my scepter. I want to watch Fox News. I want to be in my comfort, you know, and that's just normal flesh. But folks, that's where you must not let yourself go to teach you from the testimony of faithfulness. You've got to rely on the power of God and obey whether you feel like it or not. This is where it's happening. This is where God would have us to be because He wants you to be challenged and convicted from the preaching of His Word. But you're so tired and given to the flesh that you don't want to be any place but here. That really gives you a testimony real quick of how carnal you've become and how short-sighted you are of that which is of true value and true worth. You got to obey whether you feel like it or not. Number two, you got to be faithful in spite of people, circumstances, hurts, or heartaches. Let me say that one again, because if this hasn't, again, infiltrated your thinking and your heart choices, it's going to somewhere along your journey. You've got to be faithful in spite of people, circumstances, hurts, or heartaches. How many churches, how many people, just here alone, and some of you have been here since this was a horse barn, okay? Listen, how many people have you seen in your time in Christ that are no longer serving Jesus because they got their feelings hurt? Someone said something to them that upset their little poor life, and now they're nowhere to be found for the cause of Christ. I was preaching up in Michigan, and there was this Von Trapp family that always sat down like the second row. I mean, they had a zillion kids. I lost track. But you know what they did every service? They always brought a visitor. I mean, I've been there several times. They always had a visitor or a multitude of. I don't know how they did it. They must have fed them, bribed them, or whatever. But they always had visitors. Well, this one night, this lady came with them, and I scared her to death. like I do some of you. And she sat right down on the spit section, you know, like only real weird people do, like these people. And, you know, the spit pit, we affectionately call it. But this lady, just, she was this kind of like wide-eyed deer, you know, headlight type of look. And come to find out after the service that God wrought a victory in her life. You know what happened? Had church split. And she got the carnality experience that, boy, you never want to experience in a local church. And the church just blew apart. And it ended up that she retreated to her home. And she was for about 15 years just hiding in her home instead of faithful to the local church. Folks, if this church, you know, goes south sideways and you get all bent, you better get in another church and be faithful, because you're not here to be faithful because of the pastor or because of the people in the church, but the person Christ Jesus. Quit blame shifting. I might preach on that tomorrow. Right? Quit blame shifting and on your own sinful choices. You've got an attitude problem because you choose to have an attitude problem and you're in sin. You throw in the towel because you didn't rely on the power of God and you didn't get your way, so you quit on God? Let me help you. Grow up and get over yourself. There's things more important than you getting your way or doing what you feel or thinks is best in your life and how you can bless people with your presence. But this gal, I tell you folks, God convicted her and she got right. She came to me and said, "Thank you, Brother Maynard, for telling me what I needed to hear." You know what, folks? We need to be faithful. And you know, can I tell you, kids? People are going to disappoint you. Organizations are going to greatly disappoint you. That's why you've got to keep looking unto Jesus and not follow Christianity because of some man. Because I guarantee you, I don't care who the man is or will be, they'll always break your heart and disappoint you. It always happens because we're flesh. Stay looking unto Jesus. Number three, you need to allow God to strengthen you to gain victory. This is a painful one. To gain victory over your laziness and inconsistencies of the flesh. Can I have an ouch from the crowd, please? Ouch. Aren't we a bunch of lazy buzzards, people? Isn't it amazing how we just bankrupt ourselves by not again feasting on the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? And it's just laziness. It's again warped in our value system of what's true value and true worth, folks, the blessed truths of Scripture. And number four, swallowing your pride and realize you're nothing apart from Him. Folks, I want to help you with that, an exercise to help you be reminded of what you are and what you are not. I want you to say this with me. I can't and I won't do it without Him. Can you folks in Dublin do that at the school? You've been doing this an awful long time. Can you just go into cruise mode and do your so-called ministry and not even have your devotions? Not even cry out to God to use you that day? It can happen to me. I can get in cruise control mode. I can get, I got it, been there, done that, and I miss that time of energy. That time of, again, being fired up and fulfilled through the working of God as I meet with Him. Folks, we've got to allow ourselves to be broken free from our pride and have this mindset. I can't and I won't do it without Him. Preach it to me, folks. Let's say it together. I can't and I won't do it without Him. Get your fist out like this, like you're just ready to pound the pulpit. Say with me, folks. Come on. I can't and I won't do it without Him. Amen. Well, I hope that's what you do tomorrow morning. I hope that's what you do all day long, as you seek to be holy as God is holy. So, big problem, face it all the time. I love me. I like me. I like when my buttons are pressed and I get to do what I want to do. And that's the problem. I've got to make sure I'm set apart from me. And Jesus is my all in all, my love of life. Number two, I've got to make a choice to be set apart from this world. And this deals with the love that God hates, and that's loving this present world. Let me give you four reasons. First of all, why should we do this? Because of what the world is. Little preachy-keachy. It's that invisible spiritual system that's opposed to God and Christ. It's headed up by the devil himself to contradict and counteract the things of God. First of all, what the world is. Secondly, because of what the world does to us. Listen to this statement. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what helped my son get saved. And may help some of you Christian school kids get saved. My kids were professional Christian school kids. But they were lost as lost can be. And finally someone got in my older son's face and said, you know what, Nate? You really shouldn't be listening to that kind of music. You're watching ungodly, perverted movies. Man, you're running with friends that are reprobate and so blasphemous toward God. Nate, you need to read 1 John. He just got as far as this verse. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. Now listen to me, guys. Be honest here with yourself and before God. He said, Dad, that verse spoke right to my heart. Because, you know, every goal he had was worldly. Every direction of life was for more things, more activities in the world, and nothing to do to please and honor God. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Loving this world not only detours us from loving God, but also from doing His will. Number three, because of what the Christian is. Now, we preachers love summary statements. And boy, this is a good one. Listen to this statement. It kind of wraps up in a good package the first three points. A Christian stays away from the world because of what it is. That satanic system that hates and opposes Christ. Because of what the world does to us. Oh, don't miss this. It attracts us to live on sinful substitutes. The devil wants to teach you. He doesn't want to get you the real deal that brings true joy, peace, and contentment. Remember this morning? He wants you to take the stuff that never works, but you keep going after nonetheless. Sinful substitutes. And the last part is because of what he, the Christian, is, a son of God. Or we can say it affectionately, a child of the King. Number four, because of where the world's going. That's in 1 John also. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now folks, I'm not an investment broker. You know, I'm not real good at that kind of stuff. That's why I have other people around me a lot smarter than I am. But I'm real smart at this stage of life. It's more beneficial and a better investment to put my talents, my time, my tithe into the things of God. Why? They last forever. Instead of investing my energy, my time, my wherewithal in this world that's going to pass away. You've got to get smarter than what your flesh is trying to do to you. And invest your stuff, your life, your all into things that will bring eternal blessings and benefits. Not just to you, but to the will and working of our God. So again, folks, we've got to be set apart from ourselves. Tough battle every day. We've got to make an obvious choice to say, hey, God hates that worldly stuff, so I'm going to hate it too. You know, that's going to, again, rip me off from all the good stuff God wants to enrich my life with, so I'm going to be set apart from the world. But let's make it real practical and in the face and hopefully conviction to the heart. Set apart from sin. Now, folks, I can go from here till Jesus comes, listing sins that we have trouble with, but I'm going to deal with actions, sins of the flesh, and attitudes, sins of the Spirit. You know, I've never, in my 30-some years of ministry, never heard anybody preach on the sins of the Spirit. I've heard them kind of dance around it, give one here and there. This is very personal, convicting, and a problem with all of us. But let's go with the more obvious one, the sins of the flesh. Don't just say, okay, God, zap me. God, clean me up. Wouldn't that be a lot easier if God just kind of cleaned it up for us? No, we've got personal responsibility. Now, you should still be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn over to the next book, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Go there and let me show you your personal responsibility in this cleanup job as far as your life before God and man and your ministry opportunities. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and look with me at this very personal convicting verse. It says, having therefore these promises. I was talking to one of our soccer expertise of athletic endeavor today at lunch. Only one kid was brave enough to sit with me at lunch, and you know, I don't think anyone wanted to sit with him either, so we got stuck together. Not just kidding. But you know what? I moved over to another opportunity of fellowship with this one guy, and I started talking about separation. So he said, where's that found in the Bible? Well, right here, in chapter 6, where it deals with a passage that neo-leos and liberals hate, folks. It's being separated from ungodliness. And again, faithful to what God would have as far as holiness is concerned. But here's our job. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Hello? Who's that talking to? Believers. All of us. It says, let us do what, folks? Cleanse ourselves. Say that with me. Cleanse ourselves. And keep reading from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Doesn't that sound like God's will for our lives? Doesn't that sound like a responsibility of faithfulness you must buy up if you're going to get your act together and be a testimony as God would have you be a testimony to rightly represent Him? Let us cleanse ourselves and circle the word all. But I like that music. But it's dishonoring to God. I love that movie. Now that's got pornography. It's got profanity. It just mocks your God through the whole thing. Well, everybody's watching it. No, they're not. Not the ones that are trying to practice holiness and honor God. And again, keep on the track of righteous direction for the glory and honor of God. They don't do that. You just want to be convinced of that so you can pervert yourself and not have so much conviction and guilt upon your life. But it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What's the goal? Perfecting, holiness. What's that again, Brother Maynard? Set apart for God alone. And being set apart by your right choosing from the garbage of the world that will kill you as far as a testimony of impact for the cause of Christ. Kids, I hope you're not here in this school just to become better business people. You know, go sharper as far as your academics so you can make a bunch of buckaroos. No, that's what Christian kids have done for far too long. I hope you're here training for the service of the King. I hope you understand you're here, yes, to be academically astute. Do the best you can be for the glory and honor of God, but use it for God. Not just, again, to be wowing in the world or, again, fill your pockets with things that will pass away. Now, I don't care if you make a lot of money. Just support your local evangelist, okay? Help me in my failing age and stage of life. Come back to your alma mater and build a gymnasium. Is that what you told me, Kevin? Is that what you're after yet? Shall build a gymnasium so the church can use it too, okay? Well, that'd be pretty sweet, folks. But you know what? Money's not the problem, is it, kids? No, it's just the love of money that is the root of all evil. So, folks, we got a responsibility to be set apart for God alone, but be smart enough to say, that's going to kill me, and I'm not going to go there and do that. I must get this out of my life so I can attain to the goal of maturing and have the testimony of holiness in the fear of God. Now, let me give a testimony. I've probably done this somewhere along the time in my ministry opportunities here. When I first started evangelism, I was going from coast to coast and north to south, east to west, and I still do, but I was in south of Minneapolis, Indiana. Minneapolis, Minnesota, and on the second row was a new married couple. Y'all remember this illustration? I call them the achy breaky heart couple. Yeah, because the husband, he looked like he just stepped off the set of Rawhide. I mean, he was bow-legged, you know. I guess he had a motorcycle, not a horse. But he was bow-legged, had his cowboy shirt on, a little bolo tie, cowboy hat beside him. And his wife, I mean, an absolutely pretty, beautiful young lady, not just in looks, but just in her life presentation. She looked like Nancy Kerrigan, the skater, without the bruises, Tonya Harding. Quack, quack, quack. Okay? Kids don't know that. They go, what? That was for the adults, all right? And come to find out, this gal was no dummy either. She was a commercial pilot. She was just amazingly talented lady. Well, come find out, they've been married about a year and a half, got a new little baby and all that stuff. And they were just drinking in the Word of God. They weren't going, is this done? Yeah, can we go home? They were going, more, feed me, feed me. You could tell they were new creatures in Christ. Well, they also did something that most people aren't foolish enough to do. They invited me over for a meal. Now, folks, I got good meals. Really good eating. I had a good meal tonight. And I almost didn't find the place, but I had a good meal tonight. Feed me the chicken. You know, I want to eat. I've got to preach. You know, I'm not really thinking spiritually. It's all carnal. Feed the preacher. Are y'all folks with me? I have my weak moments, singing and eating. So what happened was, I went up to this house, and I forgot what I preached earlier on that week. It was a cute little cottage house, rounded front door, archway, you know, the rounded archways in the house, hardwood floors, not a dust bunny to be found. Now, the place I ate tonight, oh, was it a mess. It was a fiasco. Just kidding. Okay. But I walk in, and here's what the first thing the lady told me, when she said, good to see you, Brother Maynard, and then she said, is it my house clean? If you don't want to know from an evangelist, don't ask them, okay? Because they think you really want an answer. You know, I've learned that's not true over the years. People just like to hear themselves rattle on. But I went, this is really clean. Well, what a nice house. We go into the living room. And she said, you see the coffee table? It wasn't that clean and cleared off last night. Now, what I forgot that I preached on to this young, tender-hearted kid that didn't know any better, I said, you need to go home and do a spiritual house cleaning. Y'all with me here? They actually did it! What immature babies are these people who care enough about Jesus to take action against their little pet sinful choices? They're a lot more mature sometimes than some of us old folks, aren't they? We get comfortable. We've done it for so long it seems to be right. You know what they did also? Now, by their attire, she was dressed in a cowgirl, you know, skirt, little cowgirl blouse, cowgirl boots, and a little bolo tie thing too. Guess what kind of music they liked, folks? Willie and Dolly and those non-patriotic Dixie Chicks and, you know, all Conway and all them, okay? Guess what they did? Now, back then, it was a little longer ago, they threw away all their cassettes. You know, kids, there used to be things called 8-tracks. Yeah. And they also had these cool-looking frisbee things called records. And they're just big CDs, okay? I just thought I'd educate you. But they did what we used to do in the early time of my salvation. They had a record-burning party as such. Kevin, you remember those? They were real popular. Any youth group, whatever. You know, give me rock music, let's burn. Of course, we all die of cancer and toxic waste and polluting our atmosphere. But they chucked their little pet choices of music. Wow. And they also got rid of some movies, some magazines, and things they knew were a hindrance for them to be set apart for God alone. Can I tell you, folks, most people don't care that much today. But how healthy and helpful would it be to our testimonies of consistency if maybe we went home and did a spiritual house cleaning? I had one lady in my church, and I always practiced my messages at Colonial Hills Baptist Church before I messed up anybody else. But this one lady, she came forward, and she was a single mom. Her son was unsaved and just having a rough time. She came forward, and she was under conviction. She said, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to get the help. And she got a godly lady from the church and did a spiritual house cleaning. And you know what happened? Her son got saved. And you know what his testimony was, Mom? She says, I can see a life of godliness through you by making right choices. You don't think it's a big deal. But folks, it's not just a big deal to God. It's a big deal as far as our consistency and impact as far as our testimonies is concerned. So first of all, we've got to be obvious to be set apart from the sins of the flesh. Now let me go to the one we all have trouble with. The sins of the Spirit. Now what are we talking about? Well, let me give you about the top four or five that I see all the time. How about the sin of apathy? See, I don't care about apathy. That is apathy, okay? I don't care I listen to the wrong kind of music. I don't care I watch the wrong movies. I don't care I'm not holy as God's holy. You're an apathetic, sinful mess. Oh, you're not smoking, chewing, you're wearing culottes every day, and you're a guy. And you're a very faithful servant of this, and boy, you're just so proud of yourself, but you're wicked. Your attitude is so detrimental and hurtful to the local church. You're pathetic in your selfishness. And you have that don't care attitude. Now, a companion of that, and an ugly one to say the least, is complacency. Complacency. You know what? We've never done anything like that before. Well, I can't believe they're going to take out those lovely theater seats we had in this auditorium and get these chairs. Man, those seats are very precious. We could... You know what? Change is good, people, if it's helpful to our ministry. And again, more impacting to our Jerusalem, as long as we don't want compromise on pleasing and honoring God. But if you're past 25, change rattles your chains. Are you with me? We've never done it that way. Come on, chill. Relax. You know what? It may need to change. Still, the whole school here is going through a major change. I mean, it's a different animal than it was when I was here zillions of years ago. But you know what? That's not a bad thing. It's what God would have done to reach this community, again, to bring much fruit for His honor and glory. But it's going to rattle some of you. Because you're going to have to make some changes in operation. and choices. You've always done it. You've done it since this place existed. It's not the same Mayberry RFD we grew up in. Y'all with me? And we've got to be willing to be yielded to what's best and needed to get a job done through this church. Get a job done through this school. Listen carefully, that God would have done. The sin of apathy, oh, care. Complacency, we've never done that before. And doesn't this just come along with it? A murmuring spirit. What did God do in the Old Testament to people that murmured? Talk to me. He killed them. Would that help the local church or why? You know, Testament, it's a business meeting. One of the most spiritual times of local church activity. And old Greta Grump stands up and she's just dead. I mean, we just... Now, after you get over your excitement that, you know, we got that grumpy woman out of the congregation, you better be shaking in your ever-loving boots. You hear me? But folks, you know what? That's so wicked. Now, you would do it at a business meeting, but you do it at home. You go home and you fry the preacher. Or you growl about Kevin's leadership, or what Eric did, he's teacher. You're wicked. You have the sin of a murmuring spirit, and I'm telling you, God's not pleased with what you are and what you're doing. I don't care how justified you feel you are in the midst of your murmuring conversation and presentation. How about this one, a negative mindset? It doesn't matter what the change is. If it's not your idea, it's not a good one. Don't point, because they're in the room. You hear me? You know, again, hey, they painted that wall 30 years ago. That was good enough for my family. It should be not good enough for your family. The wall needs paint. I've actually been in it. I give that illustration because I know where it happened. I'm not going to tell you the church because you folks know it. They actually almost had a church split over whether to paint the wall or not. Can you imagine the people being that carnal? This is a big, fundamental, successful church. Another church? This is very funny. About where this light is, there was a cuckoo clock. Only a layman would put a cuckoo clock in an auditorium. Are y'all with me here? And you know why they couldn't? Now, the clock didn't work, praise the Lord. Somebody killed the bird. Y'all with me? It's obnoxious enough to have one on the back wall, but having about quarter till cuckoo, 12 o'clock, cuckoo, you know, all that stuff, preacher, cuckoo, and all that stuff. But the clock, now here we go, had a plaque on it. Don't touch that clock. Because my grandma in 1933 gave that cuckoo clock. It doesn't work! They've taken it to every clock maker in the area. He said it's junk and throw it away, but you know what happened? They had a church split over dealing with a broken cuckoo clock. Folks, where is cuckoo alive, well, and working in that kind of congregation? You know, it's just because, again, it wasn't the idea of someone else who, again, thought it was a better idea to keep a broken clock on the wall. Again, you understand the cause of Christ is not about you and you getting your way. And you know what? Listen to me. You could even have a better idea than someone else. And you know what? God may still say, no, wait, or again, hey, let's think this through. But you get so torqued and so carnal and so hurtful to your local church and the cause of Christ because you are the center of everything that seems to go on. And when it doesn't go your way, you take your ball and go home. Bye! Don't let the door hit you on the way out! Don't mess up the church! Go be carnal somewhere else! And we don't want you going somewhere else. Don't throw in the towel and give in your flesh. Don't get victory. And deal with your murmuring spirit, your negative mindset. How about this one, teenagers? An ungrateful spirit. When is the last time you students here wrote a note to your parents and said, thank you for putting me in that jail. Thank you for putting me in that Christian education wonderment place. When's the last time you told them thank you? They're sacrificing to have you under a blessed ministry like this. When's the last time you just wrote anybody and said, thank you for being faithful? Thank you for putting up with me. Folks, have we lost the understanding of God's will concerning gratefulness? It's still in everything, give thanks. It's still being a testimony of appreciation. And I think we've dropped the ball on that, not just to one another, but we've dropped the ball on that toward our God. Remember the quote Sunday morning? What we forget, we don't what? Appreciate. What we don't appreciate, we don't value. What we don't value, we don't give our lives to. So folks, an ungrateful spirit is contrary to what God wants from our lives that belong to Him. And let me give you one that you all have problem with. And I'm the same way. You know what it is? Let's say you scored 100. You aren't a murmurer. You aren't a gum bumper. You aren't apathetic, complacent. You don't have a name. You're positive, positive, positively positive in your perspective of Christianity and living for God. You still have trouble in this one. Doing a right thing with the wrong heart motive. See, why are you here? Because I'm a teacher at the school and I had to. Well, bless your heart for your sinful carnal choosing. Well, I'm the wife of one of these people who, again, spend their life here for no money. And aren't you right with God? Yeah. Well, I had to come to bring my kids. We drove an hour and a half here this morning. Drove an hour and a half here back. Now I'm right back here. Well, I'm sure you've got a lot of a message here tonight. Bless your heart. Okay? If you didn't even say bless your heart, get away with it. So folks, listen, a negative mindset is bad, but so is listen, teens, because you do it all the time like I do. Doing the right thing with the wrong heart motive. Not doing it to please God. To demonstrate your love, it's just kind of like a have-to thing, or you're afraid you're going to get zapped from God, or grounded by your parents, or fired by your boss. Now, I do it because I do it heartily as unto the Lord. Doing the will of God from the heart. Now folks, all these, sins of the flesh, sins of the spirit, they mess up your testimony and cause you to miss out on faithfulness to the will of God. And what is God's will for every believer in this room? Be ye holy as He is holy. One more time and I'll be done. What does that mean? Making a choice to put Christ first and keep Him there. And if that's going to happen, you've got to take the maintenance program and put it into action of being set apart from those things that God hates, things that hate your God, and seek to rip you off and keep you from being faithful to accomplish a testimony and a working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, it's not real hard to quote. It's not real hard to remember. It's just real difficult to gain victory over the flesh and put this into practice. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That, young person, not so young, is God's will for your life. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to do it the same way we did last night. We're just going to stand here in a moment, have a word of prayer. Then as pastors down front...